Good morning. Welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 14. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is God's covenant with the nation of Israel regarding blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Let us read a few selected verses so that we get the sense of God's conditional covenant, which was with Israel. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and all of his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Now the church has not replaced Israel. Neither has the United States of America or any other nation replaced Israel. The promises were made to national Israel in her alone. So let us be clear of the context of our verse. Nevertheless, we do not affirm, as some do, that these verses should never be preached upon on patriotic holidays in our churches in the United States of America. Let us remain true to our heritage and true to our prayers for national blessings. We can apply Deuteronomy chapter 28 generally in our text very specifically to our nation, to the church, and to ourselves based upon the divine principles which we find therein. First, the nation. A beatitude is given to the godly nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, when we sing our hymns and our praises to God, when we turn to not page 32, but page 31 in our hymnals. Just wanted to see if you all were paying attention this morning. Very good, you passed the test. A scripture is at the top of the page. And at the top of page 31, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." How might the nation, how might any nation be brought high or be brought low? Well, we read in another place, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our text says, "So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you." Has our great country not been founded on Judeo-Christian principles? Read the Declaration of Independence, the preamble of the Constitution of the United States, early jurisprudence. And what I mean by this is the early writings with regard to how we got our laws, and the writings of the Founding Fathers, and you will know this to be true. Never mind what the institutions of higher learnings wish to rewrite it to be. We have it right there in black and white. Now, in attaching God's name to our nation, we have done a marvelous thing. In having honored His name with our national actions through the last 200 plus years, the United States of America has reaped marvelous blessings from God. Now, I do not say that everything our nation has done is absolutely perfect. We consider the problem of slavery, for instance, which degrades the dignity of men and women. But let us remember that our forefathers were imperfect, just as we are. And let us consider that most of what they did and most of what they wrote was in accordance with the oracles of God. Surely our nation has turned aside. We no longer respect life. Our children are being murdered in our cities. There is a push today for euthanasia. And what euthanasia is mercy killing. In other words, if the medical community does not determine that your mother or father or grandmother or grandfather is viably fit to live, pull the plug. No respect for human life. In the very refined among us, murder our children in the womb. "You shall not murder" is now classified by the worldly wise men as one of only 10 suggestions. Our nation has not only turned aside, but we have gone after other gods to serve them. We have already spoken of the God of convenience. Also among the worldly pantheon is the God of the lust of the flesh. Consider the filth that Hollywood puts out in our local movie theaters. The rampant immorality, the nudity or partial nudity that we see even in the PG-13 films, which a Christian has no business setting his or her eyes upon, much less endorsing it for his or her children. Even the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust for one another. Now we have been given up to our gods. It will continue to reap public health crises and the breakdown of marriage and family unless we repent. So I'd submit to you that the 4th of July for the Christian is much more a day of national repentance than a day of national celebration, though it be both. Now, I love this country, and I can sing God Bless America as a prayer to God, knowing that God has shed much grace on her already. But if the grace is to keep on coming, we must turn back to God. And where does repentance begin? But in the household of God, in the church. Today, the church wields less influence in society than social media. Now, if you really think about it, what social media, consciously or unconsciously, seeks or tends to accomplish is creating community of humanity without God, without Christ. I've even read it affirmed that the social media of today replaces the bygone church of yesteryear. This from a media mogul. Not because, that is, the church wields less influence in society, not because it is in any way inferior, but because its founder is not revered by those who call themselves Christians. I speak to the choir here. The professing Christian seeks to reach the world with Christ, but doesn't bother to attend the house of God, and doesn't bother to get engaged in the Great Commission, instead choosing to do other things, which may be good, but those who prioritize the worship of God have chosen the better thing this morning. The modern church in America is, generally speaking, using worldly methods and watered-down theology. Charles Spurgeon calls it namby-pamby preaching. I love that. Watered-down standards of morality in order to compete with worldly institutions for membership. May it never be so here. The church cannot compete with the world in the entertainment arena. Somebody will always entertain better. And that without the requirement of Christian discipleship. Consider what the Lord says. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. I know your works. Oh, excuse me. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And again, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. May the Church of Jesus Christ be about the worship of God and not the needs of men alone. May the Church of the Lord preach the gospel, Christ crucified, buried, and risen, ascended into glory, where he sits at the right hand of power, waiting to judge the living and the dead. May the Savior's church be a place of truth, a place of hope, a place of peace, a place of prayer, where God's truth and God's morality are held in high esteem. The church that will turn to the right or the left may gain the world, but the straight and the narrow assembly will persevere and gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And it is only in such places that real Christian revival can begin. How many people does it take to bring about a Christian revival? Read through the scriptures and you will see that it only takes one. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you on the straight and narrow road? Do not be deceived. Are you unsure? Friend, you and I, though we be redeemed, are not without sin. Let us all mourn today. Really mourn. Christ's blood ran down that tree as a fountain, and we do what? We respond how? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. A broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. So let us mourn for sin, knowing that there is hope and forgiveness at the cross. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. May God bless our nation and its leaders, all of those in civil authority, in our state and in our city. May the Lord bless His church that those places where Christ is preached and His truth is exalted, who are faithful to the message. May grow in power and in might according to the power of Your Spirit. Lord, may those who teach lies and deceive the masses be confounded. May we, as individual Christians, spend our day in continual prayer in mourning, in repentance. For Lord God, You know the things we have done. You know that we are heartily sorry. And yet, God, help us not to repeat or to stew in our sins, but to live lives worthy of the calling and without hypocrisy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.